How many remember that song? Ah, the Bee Gees. Oh, what a great vocal group. That song is from 1971. And when I was thinking about it, I had a band at the time, and this was at the dawn of the disco age, and that was a bad time for people with bands because you had to play all this dance music all the time. Anyway, that's what I remember. Well, that song was written by Barry and Robin Gibb, and as I said, it came out in 1971. It was number one on the Billboard Hot 100, and obviously it resounded with the hearts of many millions of people. And it's still just a wonderful, beautiful song today. And there's one of the lines that says, I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrow. And in life, if you live long enough, you will realize that at times, sorrow and brokenheartedness are just a part of life, and we all face it from time to time. And a broken heart really is one of the most painful and difficult things that we will ever have to deal with. And as I say, most everyone will go through this in one way or another. When you think about it, there are many types and reasons for a broken heart. And I'm just going to run through a few. And I'm going to revisit a few of these. So right away we think of, you know, lost romantic love can cause a broken heart, or betrayal by a romantic partner or spouse, loved ones passing away, loss of a job that you loved, having to move away can break your heart, marriage, being bullied, abuse in its many forms, loss of a friend, and for some people, loss of a pet can break their heart. And loss of a church and all the friends you had when you move. I know that happened to me when I moved here. That broke my heart. All the friends that I wouldn't be able to see very often. And so with so many ways to have a broken heart, you would think that God would address this issue in his word. Well, he does. And we're going to look at that today. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today, not long scriptures, short ones, so that you might want to be ready to write some things down today. All right? And I feel like that I want to stop for a moment and pray. So let's do that. Lord, we just want to give you this time. And Lord, you say that your word never returns void. So regardless of the words that I say today, Lord, I pray that your word would touch the hearts, would touch the minds of all in this room and all that are listening online. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when we think of the word of God, sometimes we hear this phrase, and when it comes to broken hearts, that time heals all wounds. And we can think that it's a proverb or something, but it isn't. That's not in the Bible. In reality, the Bible doesn't encourage us to look at time in order to heal suffering. It actually has something else to say. One thing it says is that trials and suffering and a time to weep and a time to mourn are all part of life as well. And I personally think and know from my own experience that God has ordered time to be a help in our healing. It does help. The Bible doesn't say to rely on that, but that's how God has created this life and has ordered this earth. And so it is a good thing. Time does help heal. But let's look at the word, Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Let's read it again. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, I can remember I was in the eighth grade, all the way back to 1975. Whew. I had a crush on a girl named Tracy. Really nice girl. And And we made the statement that we were going steady. You know, going steady. I don't know if anybody says that today, but that's what we said back then. Now, I was so nervous around her that I didn't talk to her. She even wrote on her shoe, or so I was told, because I never saw it, because I didn't talk to her. Said, me and my RC. Those are my initials. So isn't that sweet? And that's also how I knew we were done. I was told she erased it. Anyway, I remember the eighth grade dance. And let's see, ours was called the Winter Formal. Some of you may remember things like that. And I was so nervous about dancing with her, but she wasn't even there. I couldn't believe that she wasn't there. And turns out some prankster, I knew the guy, and this is the kind of thing he would do. He put a sack over her head as a joke, and there was some gum in there that he didn't know was in there, chewed gum, and it got in her hair. So the whole night, unbeknownst to me, she was so upset. She was trying to get this gum out of her hair. Terrible thing. Now, the last song, she showed up, and I'll never forget it. It was Mandy by Barry Manilow. Oh, Mandy, yes. So I remember that, but after that, I never spoke to Tracy. And so she broke it off. She was a smart girl. And I gotta say, I was so sad. I was so sad, even though it was all my fault. And I'm sure it was all for the best. And I know it was all for the best. And so that was my first experience of really having a mild case of a broken heart. Now, I checked with my wife as far as sharing this story, so it's no problem. Now, fast forward ahead to 1985. And I was very serious with a girl named Teresa. Now, she decided, after we had been going out a while and being very serious, talking serious things, that she was going to move to California with her family. And she left me in Oregon. Well, that was bad enough, but then I get a phone call from her that an old boyfriend, and I got to say, this guy's a good guy. He ended up becoming a pastor and blah, blah, blah. He had come down and he had asked her to marry him, and it was something that they had an agreement on that I really didn't know about from years before. And so she was seriously considering it. And I got to tell you, at the time and the way that she was talking, I thought, wow, she's actually going to do this. And I mean, I was devastated and on several fronts. First of all, I thought that she was the one, and I loved her. And the second thing was, I mean, I was still kind of a new Christian, and I really felt like the Lord had said some things to me, and everything was thrown up in the air. And so I was pretty devastated. I had a broken heart. Well, I went to my youth pastor at the time, Jeff Swaim. Now, many of you know Jeff Swaim. Jeff's kind of a funny guy. He's with Convoy of Hope. He's been here several times, and he's my good buddy. Well, I went to Jeff, and I said, Jeff, I can't believe it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I thought I was supposed to marry her. And you know what Jeff's response was, get in line, buddy. I'm like, what? This is your comforting statement? Now, in his defense, he actually gave me some things to do, some very positive things to think about and to say and to write down. And so, anyway, God in his mercy, he led me to go down to California by myself. I didn't have hardly any money at the time. I'm not going to go through that whole story. Didn't think I could get a ring with no money. Turns out you can. And I did. And I remember one of the conditions was, if she says no, can I bring it back? And they said yes. Okay. So, yeah, I'll never forget that time in the jewelry store, yes. Oh, man. Guys, I don't know about you, but I am so nervous in jewelry stores to this day. I always still kind of stand back a little bit and go, kind of look into the cases. I don't know. I'm not as bad as I was, but anyway. Yes. So I went down there and with ring in hand and on the swing set in the park, I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. So the rest is history. Yeah. So since then, I have had several times of extreme emotional pain, and not the least of which was when my father passed away several years ago, and many of you kind of walked with me through that, and several of, you know, quite a few of us have kind of walked through these moments together, and it's rough, and it's a different type of broken heart, but it certainly falls under that category, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So brokenness can be the result of external hostile forces, such as being bullied, like being mocked, people who have put shame upon you. And so for some people, they're always trying to dig out of that. Abuse in its many forms, it can also be a place of humility, can be a broken heart. Being broken before God about sin, that's another form of a broken heart. And as was mentioned before, there's a loss of a romantic love. There's loss of loved ones. And in all these cases, the scripture says that God binds up the wound. And when we are broken, it can feel like an open wound. And God wants to come and bind up that wound and heal it. Now, think about what happens, but don't think too hard, about an open wound. An open wound. Think about it being bound up or bandaged up. Now, I'm no doctor, and I don't play one on TV, but when an open wound is bound up, bandaged up, it is protected from further injury, obviously, and it is allowing the body time to heal. And in this scripture we read from Psalm 147, God is doing the healing of that wound, okay? Now, I'd like to interject here. Sometimes we just make poor choices, and there are repercussions oftentimes for those poor choices. God has set things up that way. But making poor choices doesn't mean that God is through with you. So if that's you today, you made some poor choices, and it's coming back on you. Well, we just have to face those things. And God is not done with you. He's not through with you at all because he's so cool. God is the greatest. And he loves us so very, very much. And thank God for his grace and his mercy. And he wants you to put you back into his fold. He will always call you back, no matter what. He will always call you back. Now, Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, he said, there are many sorts of broken hearts, and Christ is good at healing them all. And you might think, Pastor Roger, I'm in pain. I'm actually going through it right now. Some of you might be going through something like that. Maybe something happened many years ago that you still deal with. And you think, well, what can I do about this? And as believers in Jesus Christ, there's definitely something that you can do. And I spoke to a few people who have had some severe challenges in regard to loss of loved ones recently. And one of them, she said it was okay if I mention her name, is Chrissy Prince, who works in our office and one of our great, fantastic assistants. And her sister Rachel, who's one of our great worship leaders. And they have been through it. I'm just going to mention a couple things. They lost their mother a while back. And very, very close with their mother and their grandmother. And then there has been a few other people that have that they have had to deal with some loss. So most of these next points that I'm going to share came from conversations with these two, because I have been amazed. I have been very, I have respected how they have dealt with these losses and the broken hearts that they had and have. So the first one, I got eight of these things. And so if you want to take a few notes about this, I think it'd be good. Okay? And I want to say this, guys, the subject of a broken heart, you're like, eh, whatever. You know, some of you are like, whatever, big deal. Hey, you face it. You do. You might deal with it a little differently than some of the ladies, but it affects us all. So don't check out. I think that this will speak to you. So the first one is to acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the pain. Now, for some of us, this is easy, and you think, well, of course, I'm acknowledging the pain, I'm hurting. So yes, I'm hurting. That's just the way it is. But for some of us, we want to push down the pain of a broken heart and try to just not think about it and just push it down. And some of us are really good at that. Okay. I mean, this might be your personality. It might be because of other experiences that you've had in your life. It might be pride. And, you know, I'm not hurt by that. I can't be hurt by that. Well, the beginning of healing is to acknowledge the pain and the wound. And the second thing is, once you've done that, is to face the pain head on and give it to God. Now, Psalm 55:22 says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you, and he will not permit the godly to slip and fall." You've acknowledged the pain, and we must involve God in the process, in the healing process. Talk to him honestly. And I'm going to say this a few times, because sometimes we get the sense, oh, we have to be, you know, this pious person before God. I'm not that way before God. I know that he knows every single thing about me. He knows every single thing I've ever said, I've ever thought. He knows me better than anybody else. And sometimes I'm honest, and if I'm angry, I tell him. If I'm upset, I tell him. And if you're really, really hurting, sometimes you might just be yelling. But you're talking to God, and that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Face the pain head on and give it to God and speak to him, okay? Matthew 11:28-30, familiar verse. Let's just go verse 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, that's Jesus. I will give you rest. Now, so we need to give our hurt and pain to the Lord. You were never meant to carry it yourself, okay? God wants you to talk to him, just you and him, okay? All right, can you say amen to that? Are you with me? Okay. Number three, be in the Word, speaking out his truth. I decided to put these two together, okay? Because I think this is a powerful statement, a powerful principle, and it's crucial. Don't shy away from the Bible. We want to withdraw sometimes when we get hurt. We want to withdraw. We want to not see anybody. We want to not talk to God. We want to just, I'm just withdrawing. I'm going to, however you handle things like that, I don't, you know, if you're really, really hurting, I don't know what it is for you. But sometimes people just withdraw, okay? And this is so crucial. Don't shy away from the Bible, because there's great words of healing and comfort there. You might think, oh, I don't want to open the Bible. God's going to make me do something that I don't want to do. Well, he might. But the thing is, get in the Bible. There's great healing there, okay? So Psalm 34:18 is so fantastic. Okay, and don't just, if you're in this place, don't just read it. Speak it. Speak it by yourself. Just speak it, okay? "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." See, he knows all about this kind of thing. He created you. He created our hearts to break, you know. He created us this way so that he could heal us, okay? So that he could do the healing. And we speak these things out. Psalm 73, 26. I love this one. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's read that last bit together, starting with but God. Okay, one, two, three. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. One more time. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay. There are great declarations from the Word of God. And remember, it also says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And there's a lot of truth to this. What we speak out can bring negativity if it is negative, and it's going to hurt us. Or if we speak life, if we speak the life of the Word, okay, it's going to bring life to you. It's going to bring life to you. Let's go to the next one. Number four is to share your pain with people that you care about and that care about you. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Don't walk it alone. Don't walk it alone. And there's a tendency, like I mentioned, for us to do that, to walk it alone. Look, I feel like I have all these different aspects of how God made me. One way that he made me is I'm kind of sensitive. So it's like I'm fighting it half the time. But I got to tell you that I know what it's like to be hurt and want to withdraw. Okay? I know what that's like. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says that we're supposed to share our pain. And don't just, I'm just going to tell you to use wisdom. Share your pain with somebody you trust, somebody that you know cares about you, okay? Because it'll help you. It'll help you. Then you got somebody praying for you, okay? And that's a great thing. And somebody who actually cares about what you're going through. All right, so the next one. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Okay. Now, I'm going to say something that if you're going through a difficult time right now, just remember I said this down the road, okay? That pain and suffering and brokenheartedness can be an unusual gift, okay? Can be an unusual gift. Now, I said it, unusual. Why? It's because emotional pain can awaken our spiritual senses. And many of you know this. Even though you're going through a rough, rough time, it's a time that you're more sensitive to God if you allow yourself to be, okay? If you seek God through it. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So you're casting that on him. You're thinking about God. You're wanting God to help you, okay? There can be a deepening with God. This was shared by I believe, Chrissy, and I thought it was so true. There can be a deepening with God when we go through a broken heart, a drawing closer. I was remembering a preacher from the 90s, and I cannot remember his name, but I thought it was worth telling anyway. This guy used to really kind of rail on other preachers who maybe had moral failure, had really not doing things the way that he thought they should. He was very strong. This guy got cancer. And I remember seeing, it's never left me, I can't remember his name, but he was on television shortly before he passed away. And he said, I would never trade my sickness for anything. And he just had tears streaming down his face. And he says, because I've gotten to know God. Now that's powerful. That is powerful. And it's the change that can take place. Be sensitive to the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. This has always fascinated me. And what I'm going to say to you, I heard this years ago and I've used it several times because I think it's so great. It says, that is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And oftentimes we stop there and we think, oh, that's great. He's talking about heaven. And that's true. And it is great. But let's keep reading. The Apostle Paul says this, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Shows us God's deep secrets. So what he is saying is, when it says no eye has seen, no ear has heard, he's saying by his Spirit we can see. We can hear. Okay? We can see, we can hear, but only by his Spirit and whatever God wishes to reveal to us. So we can't imagine what those things are, but sometimes God will reveal those things, certain things that you need to know, okay? He will do that. And during a time of pain and suffering, I'm going to say this, don't miss the opportunity because it is an opportunity, believe it or not, to be sensitive to God's Spirit and to what he might say to you. And again, be honest before God. He can take it. Say whatever you need to say. He already knows what you think. He already knows what you're going to say to him. It's okay. It's okay. You can trust him. And the next thing is, in terms of God speaking to us, God will speak things that will only be understood by you. If you've never experienced this, or even if you have, please listen to what I'm going to say. It's one way that I and countless others have found that God will heal us when we are brokenhearted. When we seek him during a time of pain, he will speak something that only pertains to you. Nobody else is going to get it. And Chrissy shared something with me, and I went, oh yeah, that happened to me too. But it's like when you share it, if you were to share it with someone, they probably won't get it. Because God does it just for you. Because he knows everything about you. He knows how you think. He knows what you've been through. And he wants to say something to you for the purpose of healing. Okay? Only you can understand it. John 10, 27 and 28. I love this. My sheep hear my voice. And I love the next part. And I know them. See, God knows you. He knows all about you. And if you're one of his sheep, you will hear his voice. Okay? All right. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I love that. Now, I'm going back to when my dad was sick. He was on hospice, and I had come to see him in Prineville. That's where they lived, a beautiful place. They lived out in the country. And it was at my parents' home, and I knew that he only had a number of days left. And I was so sad. I was just so very sad. And my heart was just broken. My dad wasn't perfect, but I loved my dad. Maybe a lot of you can relate to that. Nobody's perfect. But, hey, he's my dad. And I remember driving away from their home. I mean, just broken. Tears streaming down my face, just sobbing. And I was by myself. And then something very unusual happened. And it's going to be hard for you to understand. But this is just for the purpose of letting you know that God will speak something that only you get it. Okay? And at church here, we had a creative arts event that had a circus theme. I don't know if any of you remember this, but I remember I did a little juggling. I'm not very good at it, but I can juggle three of the balls, you know. And so everybody did some kind of a circus thing, and it was just to advertise creative arts. Anyway, during this time, I downloaded a bunch of circus music. And, you know, circus music is crazy. It's, trying to think of a circus song. They're super happy, they're super crazy, and you know how circus music is. That's the way it is. Well, I had downloaded this on my phone. Now, very randomly, something happened, and I had my phone plugged into my car and into my stereo, and I'm an old rock and roller, so I listen to my music super loud. I'm sorry. Sometimes people hear me driving in, and it's like, how can you listen to your music so loud? And I remember my mother telling me that. Just turn that music down. Anyway, so I was doing that, and my music was turned up very loud, so I'm just crying. And suddenly, I don't know, randomly, a circus song comes on my phone. And I mean, I went from sobbing to laughing. I did. And for reasons that only God and myself know, it so spoke to me. I mean, I laughed and God spoke to me. He said, Roger, it's okay. He said, your dad is going to be with me. It's okay. And through this crazy circus music, making me laugh, and then God spoke right in there when that happened. Something only that I would understand. And that's the kind of thing he does. And he's done that several times in my life when I unexpectedly. I love him. He's wonderful. And I need to say that he will speak to you as well. Okay? He will speak to you as well. Number 7. I've only got 2 more here. Be open to caring for others. Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, this can be a tough one, but it's also an amazing source of healing. So many times, things that are good for us are not easy. That's just life. And, yeah. It's a tough one, but when we turn our eyes off of ourselves, and this goes way beyond when we're brokenhearted, this goes to if you're just struggling with life and you're thinking about yourself all the time, you might have good reasons and good excuses, but it's so healthy when we get our mind, our eyes off of ourselves. Onto other people to help them for a good way, you know. People need our help. You're going through things. People need help, just like you need help. You expect people to come and help you. Well, let's turn it around. People need you, and it's so good for us. You think, well, how can I do that? You can pray for them. Spend a little time with them. You can encourage them. You can listen to them, not having to talk all the time. I'm not saying you do. Some people do. Sometimes you just stop and listen. And that will help you. It'll help them, but it's going to help you. All right, last one. And I'm going to have the worship team come up, if you would. Worship God in the midst of pain. Again, not easy. But it's so great for us. And many of you know this. We have a great worshiping church. And I've seen some of you who are really going through it at times. And man, you worship. Because you know how good it is for you. But more than that, you know that God deserves it. And you need God. Okay? Now, worshiping God creates proper perspective. This is huge. And there's an old worship chorus that many of you know and has probably helped many of you at some time in your life. It's pretty old. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's wonderful. Because when we get our eyes on Jesus and we look in his face, then these things that trouble us. Now, there's some pretty rough things. I know that. And if you're hurting because of some stuff that's super rough, I get it. I totally get it. And so do most people. But it's so good for us to worship God in this time. There's a quote. I was reading this gal's message. Her name is Rachel Coulter. I don't know her or know who she is, but I liked what she said. And one thing she said was, worship puts our pain in its rightful place under the reign of an already victorious Father. Okay? He's already won. He's already, you already have the victory, but your pain needs to be consistently left with him. And though suffering and brokenheartedness is never a small thing, okay, it's not. God is always greater. Can you say amen to that? God is always greater. And as strange as it may feel in the moment, lifting your hands in praise, remembering the victory that has been won, remembering that God holds your life in the palm of his hand, and he is leading the victory. That's who you need to get on board with. You need to jump on that train. Jump on that train as it's going by. The train of the Holy Spirit, because he's going to bring you healing. He will not leave you, and he will not forsake you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And let heartfelt praise remind you of his great love and absolute sovereignty. And let these reminders bring healing to your broken heart. This is a good phrase. Worship is a healing balm for even the deepest of wounds. Okay? Worship is a healing balm for even the deepest of wounds. All right, so I'm going to close with the reading of Psalm 23. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to let it read as it is. It doesn't need my help. It's wonderful. So if you just stop for a moment and listen to this reading, Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can you mend a broken heart? I don't know that the Bee Gees knew when they wrote that song how to mend a broken heart, because there's no answer in the song. It's through our loving, caring, understanding, and all-powerful God, who is not way up there and we're way down here. He's right here with us. Now, if you're listening today online, or if you're here today, all of these instructions that I have given are based on the fact that you know Jesus personally. If you don't know him personally, I mean, some of these things will help you, but some of them you won't understand because your mind hasn't been made new. And that is done by God. That is done by the Holy Spirit of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son is Jesus. There's God the Father, the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. Three in one, it's a difficult concept, but that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And he is calling your name. He wants you to know him. He's after you. You might think you're after him. No, he's after you. And he wants you to know him personally. And it's very, very easy to do as far, because he's done it all for you. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago so that you would have new life. Maybe we're singing songs and you're like, why do they sing so much? I love it when people get it who have not gotten it. And once they know Christ and they love him, all of a sudden these songs mean something. Like, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. Well, I want you to get it, and God wants you to get it. He wants you to know him personally. He's alive. He's alive. Yeah. He is the one true God, and he loves you. Now, it's a very easy thing. You ask God to forgive you of your sins, which are things that are in opposition to what to who he is. Okay? So, you know, lying, stealing, things like that. Things that you know are wrong. Just, you're created by God, so you have that in you to know these things aren't right. But, you know, we don't like to admit them. And so he wants you to ask his forgiveness for those things you have done and turn from those things. But you need him to help you. So that's the easy part of it, because he's done the rest. All you have to do is make that decision. Okay? So I'm just going to pray a prayer, and you can pray it along with me. You don't have to repeat everything I'm going to say right now. I'm just going to say a simple, honest prayer. That's how I am with the Lord. I'm not trying to be anything religious today. I am just trying to lead you if you want to know Jesus. And so I'm just going to pray this prayer. So, Lord, I just love you. And we love you. And, Lord, there are those here today possibly who don't know you personally, but they want to. And so, Lord, I know from your word and just from knowing you that you're after them in a good way. You want to give them an eternal life. You want to give them life and joy in this life, because it's your where it comes from. And so, Lord, we just come before you today and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and help me to turn around and do the right thing in life. But more than that, to know you personally, because you're holy, yet you love me. And you did everything on the cross 2,000 years ago. I believe in your son, Jesus. And I give you my life today because I'm not doing a very good job of handling it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, if you prayed it and meant it, I need to tell you something. Your life is going to change. And it's somewhat outside of you. If you meant that prayer, you've just walked into a whole new world, which is a world with God. And there's nothing greater than the love of God. Can you, everybody say amen to that? Yeah. Okay. Well, and I'm not going to leave it just like this. Let's all stand up for a moment. And I just want to say, before we sing this last song, this whole subject of a broken heart is, for some people, well, I'm not really going through that. Well, I went through that a long time ago. Okay. You probably will go through it again in some way. and maybe you're going through it now. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you need to take some of these steps, maybe one or two of them really spoke to you and thought, I am just not doing this. Well, today's your day. Today's your day. I don't have any other agenda except to turn you over to Jesus. Okay? And he's our healer. And so I would like to pray a prayer with you before we sing. Lord, we just come before you today. And Lord, we've all been broken at some point. And there's all different kinds of reasons for it. A lot of it was not our fault. Maybe something was, but a lot of the times it's not our fault. It's just life. And Lord, we want to completely heal. And Lord, if there's anything of these things that were shared today, Lord, that need to speak to us, Lord, we want to give ourselves over to you and be obedient and say, Lord, I need to help other people. Or Lord, I really need to seek you in your word and speak out those truths. So Lord, take my life and make it awesome and not weighed down with shame or with guilt, whatever it might be, because you're the one who brings life. So I love you, Lord, and I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing one last song.